everyone. I'm John Melke, and this is Parkside Today. I hope that you're all staying safe and healthy. We're very pleased to be joined by Dr. Peter Knight, Professor of Marketing and Sales and Chair of the UW Parkside Business Department, Julie Asher, a senior majoring in marketing and business management from Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin, and Sarah Coughlin, also majoring in marketing and business management, a senior here at UW Parkside. Julie, Sarah, and Dr. Knight, welcome to Parkside Today. Before we get into the virtual sales competition that each of you participated in recently, for Julie and Sarah, what have the last 8 weeks of your spring semester been like? What have they taught you?
Yeah, I mean, for myself personally, there has been a lot of changes, and I've learned a lot to be adaptable, and communication is really key throughout this process, and connecting with your people, your partners, your group project members, your professors, those communication and adaptability have really been the key for my found success through this.
And Julie, how about you?
I would completely agree with Sarah. I think that this is a good indication that maybe even more classes can move online, since I personally think that my end of semester went pretty smoothly. And I didn't mind it too much being online. I do miss the social and in-person connection that a class can bring, but I also found it very convenient to just be able to log on from my bedroom or my couch and do schoolwork from the comfort of my home.
And Dr. Knight, kind of a similar question for you. How did you or did you need to adjust your learning style or course curriculum during these final 8 weeks?
I thought the sales class was going to be the most challenging, but really in the end it wasn't. We'd already made some major changes to the curriculum based on some national research that we'd done. But it went probably smoother than I thought. You know, I do teach a fairly high percentage of online courses. And, you know, the area that I was most worried about probably was our annual sales competition. But we learned an awful lot from it. And I think, you know, I'll let the students speak to that. But I think it went pretty well overall. And we learned a lot of things that are going to help us adapt to the new reality after COVID-19, whatever that is, and give the students the skills they need. And I think overall it went pretty well.
Talk to me a little bit about the capstone sales competition and how does that come about? I mean, knowing that the university for a number of years has participated in sales competitions in Georgia, East Coast, Midwest, assuming here that because of the COVID-19 and travel restrictions, those opportunities were not available this spring. Is that how it kind of comes about?
Well, actually, Julie had competed in it at a competition in Illinois State in February, okay. Just before things started to close up. And Sarah was actually scheduled to go with me to a competition in Maryland, and it was canceled. National Collegiate Sales Competition in Atlanta. They did end up running it, but it was virtual, just like our competition. Now, our capstone competition, we ran it for the first year last year with the opening of our new sales lab, and it gave us the facilities to do what we do in national competition. So this year, we made some changes to it based, as I said, on some national research that we've done in interviewing graduates of sales programs all across the country. And they were very positive about what they learned from the programs. But a couple of gaps that they identified were that they weren't really prepared for all aspects of the sales cycle, including customer follow-up and relationship building after the sales made, and also the piece of prospecting and actually getting the initial interest. We focus a lot on the sales call itself. So we added that, and we also added some things related to career development and self-knowledge that students also felt would be helpful to help them find the right career. But then as things moved along, we found that we knew pretty early on that we're probably going to have to move. My research partner, husband's president of Microsoft Canada, and they were first company in the U.S. probably to shut down. And all the meetings were canceled back the end of February. So we knew something was up even before the, you know, things happened officially. So we decided to alter the cases to COVID scenarios where all the calls would have to be done virtually. And so the students had a bit of advance notice on this. But again, we'd never really done it through web conferencing before. So I think there was a lot of learning. There were four rounds this year where they had done a phone call, cold call before the COVID outbreak. And then they have to do a needs assessment call to set a final meeting to close. Teams of two do that. And then they do a customer follow-up afterwards and try to upsell the customer. They're selling Gartner Market Intelligence services. And so, I think overall it went very well. But I think we adapted pretty well, the students and myself, and a lot of other schools did, to preparing students for what's likely going to be the new reality.
We're talking with Dr. Peter Knight, Professor of Marketing and Sales and Chair of the Business Department at UW-Parkside, and Julie Asher and Sarah Coughlin, Marketing and Business Administration majors at UW-Parkside. Julie and Sarah, both of you have been involved in sales competitions in the past, and I'm curious about how is it different preparing for a virtual competition? Was it different?
So this is Julie, and I have to say that I personally think it was different in terms of the presentation. So the presentation is one component of the sales process that we learn how to do. And in person, there's a lot of room for error because you're in front of someone and you can flip back and forth through slides. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, when you're doing it through WebEx or a virtual platform, there's not as much room for error. And I think that people get more annoyed with you if you're flipping back and forth virtually. Mm-hmm. It almost seems like you have to be very streamlined and know exactly how the software works. And I think especially the presentation, it's forced me to learn multiple softwares, like the Kaltura one that we use for the competition, mm-hmm. as well as WebEx for work, and just learning how to make those presentations extremely streamlined so people don't get annoyed with you.
Sure, sure. And Sarah, how about you? What did you find that some of the differences getting ready for a virtual competition?
Yeah, so exactly what Julie said, you have to make sure your presentation is pretty much flawless. But on the flip side of that, you lose body language and that face-to-face personal interactions when you are doing it over the computer. You can't really see how they are responding to what you are saying. You can't feel their response that you would in a normal setting. Mm-hmm. So I think that just making sure that during these Zoom and these WebEx virtual platform calls, that you are really intentional on trying to create those relationships with the person that you're talking to make it feel comfortable and to make it feel like you've actually met them and you have a relationship instead of just virtually knowing them.
Maybe you've each touched on this a little bit in your answers, but what were some of the, during your presentations, what were some of the key things that each of you learned about either yourself or the process of making that presentation virtually?
This is Sarah. I guess I'll start off. I think that doing virtual presentations, I like to just take my time a little bit more, think through what I'm going to say. And I think, exactly what I said, taking your time, especially when you have a partner call. For one of our roles and one of our rounds, we had to do it with our partner, and to just be patient and not overspeak on each other. Mm-hmm. I think that is a crucial part.
That timing part of it is really interesting, isn't it? Regardless of whether it's a sales presentation or when each day we have meetings with campus leadership on, communication things that we're doing around COVID-19 and even getting used to the timing of how that conversation takes place versus taking place in a face-to-face environment. Julie, how about you? What were some of the key takeaways?
Yeah, so I think a key takeaway for me was that engagement from the audience or other person that I'm talking to is important for me to know how I'm doing. I think just like Sarah said, that when you lose that connection in person, you don't really know if you're speaking right or if the person is getting what you're saying. So I know in one of the sales competitions, we used the Blackboard function in our Kaltura. And this was a function where you were able, the person on the other end was able to see you write out math problems or write out the sales numbers that we were using. Mm-hmm. And using that, I got really great feedback from the other side, and that let me know how I was doing in the competition. So I think that through all of this, I've learned that using the engagement tools in WebEx or in Kaltura have been extremely helpful for me. And I think I need and crave that feedback from the tools that they can give to me.
Sure, sure. Dr. Knight, question for you on, sometimes I think it's a little bit funny in the last number of weeks where someone will say, well, we'll have to, I'll call you. And that's followed up by, well, are you calling me on Teams, or is it a WebEx call, or is it a phone call, or how are you doing this? Where before, if someone said to me, I'm going to call you, I would go, okay, they're going to call me on my phone. Do the different technologies play into maybe how someone makes a presentation or what they might be comfortable with the person receiving that presentation?
Well, you're a communications guy, John, so you probably know my fellow countryman, Marshall McLuhan from Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
Who said medium famously said the medium is the message.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think there's probably some truth to that. But to Julie's point, this was something that a lot of the students said in the national study, that they were thrown into phone selling or web conferencing situations that they hadn't practiced much. And it was exactly what she said, that the difficulty in picking up on body language, the feedback of knowing how you're doing. So just in general, those are things we need to teach in terms of the engagement tools for this new environment. I think Julie made a great point. But again, you know, the different types of tools, I think we wondered a bit as a department, business department, we got, you know, we were like kids with new toys at Christmas, and everybody had a different version that they wanted to try at things. And, you know, we were using a lot of WebEx, a lot of Zoom, a lot of Blackboard Collaborate. You know, I've even had meetings on Teams, and they're all a little different, but I don't think it hurts students in the end, because you want to be kind of multi-platform able, you know, like being multilingual or something, where you can transmit from one platform to another and have those skills when you're out in the work world. But I think we did wonder a bit that, you know, when we started to look at what do we really do and this whole process, that maybe we tried to get too ambitious with students and so many different ways of doing things that may have, you know, been a bit of a detriment.
I was reading I forget, it may have been on LinkedIn, and I love looking on LinkedIn. I think there's a lot of great information out there, but someone was saying that in the future, instead of on your resume putting that you're Microsoft proficient, or, you know, proficient in Word or Excel, it'll be, I'm proficient in Microsoft Teams. You know, that if you can show that you can do things on Teams, then people will go, oh, they must be pretty savvy to the various technology. So far, just in the different meetings that we've had, whether it be a Zoom meeting, WebEx, Teams seems to be like a little less, there's a little less delay in it than maybe some of the other ones. It's probably become my favorite for if there's three or four people. And then when it gets beyond that, then it seems like, well, I can only see three other people. If there's like 10 people on Teams, I don't see like on WebEx, I can see each of you. And if there were 10 people on here, we could see that. So I'm a Teams fan, but there certainly are a lot of different ways to communicate. What do you think that says about the person who shows they're proficient in these various platforms to the person that's receiving that information from them?
Well, I think in our case, our students are going to ramp up faster if they have that knowledge. And, you know, it went along with relevance in our sales curriculum, that was one aspect of it that students identified. you know, the ability to replicate their skills or use their skills in a being able to mirror the buyer and ask feedback and good questions to do that in a web phone format. So those are going to be in-demand skills and probably even more in-demand than they were prior to COVID. So, you know, I think that's a big plus. And I think in future, we're going to do a mixture of web conference and live exercises. Mm-hmm.
We're talking with Dr. Peter Knight, professor of marketing and sales and chair of the business department at UW-Parkside, and with Julie Asher and Sarah Coughlin, marketing and business administration majors at UW-Parkside. Julie and Sarah, a question for each of you that kind of teeing off of what Professor Knight just mentioned. How do you view kind of the future of using web technology or web conferencing technology? Do you believe that more and more companies are going to do that, and there may be less of the face-to-face presentations that are really, you know, have been such a, that's the way sales have been done usually if you want to really get your message out there? Do you see that changing over time?
So this is Julie, and I think that absolutely it's going to change over time. And I think that this work from home paradigm has helped people realize that they might actually like working from home. And I think that they might opt in to do it afterwards too. And in that case, WebEx and all these other platforms are going to be necessary to conduct business. So I absolutely see it carrying on to the future, and even after COVID is over with, I think that we're going to continue to use even more WebEx meetings and video conferencing technologies to conduct business.
Yeah, so everything Julie said, I completely agree with. I even see it on a scope of not just sales organizations and sales roles being more virtual. I think most roles in general will be that way. For example, I've had many interviews over Skype and Zoom, mm-hmm. and those have gotten me jobs. And I think that will also just make our global world just that much more smaller by being able to connect on a much bigger scale very easily. And I think it will become the norm. Mm-hmm.
And a question for each of you that kind of going off of what you just said about the career opportunities. The sales track at UW-Parkside, what has that, what do you feel that has meant to you as students getting ready to go out and compete in the professional world?
I guess I can start it off. The sales track and the sales certificate program at Parkside has opened up so many doors for me, and with opportunities with networking at the specific sales competitions, it has led me to my current summer internship. Mm-hmm. But then beyond that, the networking with people across the entire country, the Parkside sales program has opened that up for me. And not only that, it has given me much more confidence mm-hmm. in myself to know that I am capable of doing these jobs against people from Big Ten schools and bigger business organizations. It's given me the confidence that I have the skill set to be successful.
Yeah, I completely agree with Sarah as well. The sales certificate is giving you that leg up against other Parkside students for career opportunities, because I think most students, we have equal access to the career fairs or the summer internship fairs that Parkside puts on. But it's only in my sales classes that I've actually seen recruiters come in and talk to you one-on-one. Mm-hmm. So I think that face-to-face, very intimate interaction with recruiters from everywhere, it really gives you the edge when you're a sales student. And two, I think that although our sales competitions are nationwide, you find that it's a very close-knit community. And if you go to various competitions, we recognize the people from UW-Whitewater, or we even recognize some students from the East Coast schools. So having like a tight-knit community and networking circle, I think that also helps sales students because you really actually get to know the people who are doing these competitions and they're able to open doors for you for more recruiters or more opportunities.
Sure. And I think that even on the in my role at Parkside as communications director, there isn't a day that goes by where I'm not, I don't want to say selling, but trying to, you know, maybe convince someone of an idea or to put something forward and make a presentation where a person says, okay, yeah, I see that, or I agree with you, or I think the funding, university funding should go that way. So the sales techniques, you know, they go far beyond just a quote unquote typical sales call. I mean, I think you're selling all the time, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And just like Sarah said, we're both coming up on graduation. So doing interviews, I think that's where it's coming in handy most for us for real world exposure. And that's just because you have to sell yourself in an interview because you're up against so many other candidates. And the sales certificate, that's what it helps you do, too. It helps you learn how to sell a product, but also sell yourself.
Mm-hmm. And Julie, when you were involved with the face-to-face sales competitions, I should know the answer to this, and I don't. Did you use video recordings of your presentations to kind of do some self-assessment on how the presentation looked or sounded?
Yeah, Dr. Knight is very adamant about making us watch ourselves back on recording. And when you first do it, you just are cringing the whole time. But it is really important for your growth. And you notice that you do things that are super cringeworthy. Like, for example, I say you guys too much. And my Wisconsin accent really shines through on these recordings. But it's all to better yourself in the end.
Sure, sure. And Sarah, how about you?
So I can attest to everything Julie said. I have worked with Dr. Knight and our other sales coach, Professor Jim McFall, and they both make us watch ourselves back. And it is so uncomfortable listening to yourself on a video. Like, you sound so much different than you do in your head. But it is very important for us to do that. So I can see if I'm saying likes and ums and just all these filler words, and also watch my body language back. So it is very a crucial step, even if we don't really enjoy it that much.
Yeah, yeah. And Dr. Knight, what sort of guidance advice do you give to sales students when you start talking about how they appear on video presentations?
Well, I think the best way to deal with that is to allow them to draw their own conclusions. It's never comfortable watching yourself on video. In the corporate world, when I worked for AC Nielsen back in the late 80s, my boss put me in a room with a video camera for a day and a half and made me do presentations over and over again. So I guess I don't have much sympathy for them. But I think that it's a very enlightening experience. I was playing with my keys and doing all kinds of things. And so I think they can draw their own conclusions from it. What we use the video techniques more for are, if time allows, is to go back and look at specific points in the call where they could have reacted differently, question they could have asked. That's really the advantage of the video. Certainly, your self-image and self, your presence. And we're all about self-knowledge, and we're getting more and more way after what the recent graduates told us in the national study, that it's a very important component of sales and really of success in business, is knowing your strengths and weaknesses and how to play to them, and and being and having that personal awareness.
Right. And Julie and Sarah, how has your involvement in the sales competition helped you, each of you as students, in your academics beyond just some of the sales classes?
I think that preparation for the competitions has helped me a lot with discipline for my schedule, because the sales certificate is one thing. That's a set of classes that you have to take in order to earn the distinction. But doing a competition is another. It's almost like another class on top of the sales certificate, because you're meeting multiple times a week for up to 2 hours at a time. So it basically is another class period that you're committing your time to. So I think it's helped me a ton with course load and learning how to manage a schedule, and just making sure that I have my T's and Q's together on my actual coursework before also taking on another chunk of the competition to work on.
And Sarah, how about you?
Just as Lee said, we both are very busy. We both have a job outside of school while going to school full time, and being very organized helped a lot. But on the flip side, it helps me in my other classes. We have to do a lot of presentations, a lot of public speaking, and it helps me these competitions. And it helps me really know that I'm confident to talk in front of people. It helps take away those butterflies, because if I can sit in a 20-minute pretend role-play meeting with someone, then I can speak in front of my classmates for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. We've got a few minutes left here in the program, and I wanted to ask you about kind of going back to the end of this semester where, and I don't know the answer to this question, so if it comes out and it's not the right question, well, that's the way that goes. But assuming for each of you that that you went from maybe some online classes, maybe face-to-face, maybe it was all face-to-face, to all online, what did that teach you about about how you learn? You know, are you better learners maybe face-to-face? Are you better learners online? Or how did that... How did that seem to play out the last 8 weeks of the semester?
I would say there's definitely pros and cons. For myself personally, all of my classes were in person before COVID-19 and the quarantine. So now they're obviously all online.
Mm-hmm.
But some pros for me would be I can work at my own pace. And some of my professors have posted lectures online that I can rewind and rewatch when it's necessary.
Okay.
And I like working from the comfort of my own home, but most of it for me is cons. I like to be face to face with people, and I learn better hands on, and it's much harder to gain that type of learning through online curriculum.
Mm-hmm. And Julie, how about you?
So for me, I think that I almost enjoy online courses a little bit more. So I was bummed that I don't get to see all of my friends and professors at school, but I'm also happy with the flexibility that online learning gives me. My hours that I usually work are hours that are 9 to 5 most of the time. So I'm already accustomed to taking online courses and working a schedule out around that. So for me, it wasn't too much of a change. It was just more online work, and I don't mind it at all. I will say I do think that in-person discussions are a lot better, and for online courses, the discussions can be a little bit bland or just not as much fun as if you were to have them in a real classroom with a professor's feedback.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I think online learning was great. And I also think that Parkside did a really great job of pushing everything online within a couple of weeks.
It definitely happened quickly. And I will toss that question then to Dr. Knight. Peter, what was that kind of that process like of very quickly moving from an online and in-class environment to the online environment from a faculty standpoint?
Well, I was very proud to be of my colleagues in the business department and how we reacted. You know, the willingness to have weekly meetings online that were attended very well. We had a weekly session where people, faculty shared tips and their knowledge. So we created a community of practice. We did that all within, you know, a couple of weeks. And I think it's a real testament to our department that every single faculty member was willing to step up, be innovative, be creative, and respond to the challenge. You know, I think there was a little bit of a fear afterwards that maybe we did too much and there were too many different approaches. But again, you know, as has been cautioned, this shouldn't be a test of whether online learning is effective, because this was an emergency situation. And if you put it in that light, I think we did very well.
I think it's interesting that one of the things, just from my job standpoint, is that each week we have a meeting of UW system legislative liaisons and public information officers. And most of the people I've seen in my career three or four times. And while I hear their voices each week, I didn't know there was something different about being able to see them each week on a WebEx call. And why we didn't do a WebEx call before, I don't know, but I'll be very surprised if they go back to just the phone calls, because I think people liked, from who are working at different places around the state, enjoyed being able to at least see one another, and, you know, helps with that recognition.
Oh, I think there's been all kinds of opportunity that have been created, been forced on us through this crisis, that I things will change dramatically in the new normal, whenever and whatever that is.
Well, I want to thank each of you. We've been talking with Dr. Peter Knight, Professor of Marketing and Sales and Chair of the UW Parkside Business Department, and Julie Asher and Sarah Coughlin, who are Marketing and Business Administration majors at the UW Parkside, and who have been involved with the sales competitions. It's been a really interesting conversation, and I thank you all for the time today.
I wanted to mention one other thing that, just quickly, they were, Julie's team was first place in the in-class competition, and Sarah's was second, and your prizes are on the way. There's always prizes. I told them, if you've seen Glengarry Glen Ross, you know that, third place, you don't want to know. Second place, set a steak knife. And the first place is a Cadillac Eldorado. But they got some nice prizes from some of our sponsors. And I am accumulating on the way some gift certificates and some really cool swag items and a book. So I'll let you know.
So Julie and Sarah, keep watching your mailboxes. Well, again, thank you. Thank the three of you. Appreciate you being with us here on Parkside Today. To hear past editions of Parkside Today, please visit uwp.edu/Parkside Today. You can also hear Parkside Today on all the major podcast platforms, so you can find us there. Thanks for listening, everyone.